I want to read from chapter 33, the first, beginning of the first verse, the book of Isaiah. Okay, not 33, 32 it is. The book of Isaiah. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The 33rd chapter, woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoil, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us, we have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. As the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. As the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. You know, I say this again, that when we look around us and we see the different things that's taking place and we see the different revivals that's sweeping the world, we're made to know that their chief concern is about prosperity. Now, God has told us in His Word that He wants us to be blessed. He has made it plain that we should have health, happiness, that we should have prosperity. But He also told us in His Word that number one in our life, we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto us. We are told that God would above all things that we as individuals prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. Therefore, all of the prosperity that God would that I should have hinges upon the fact that my soul seeks His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, if I seek the kingdom of God, that means I have a desire to see God's kingdom established in the earth. For the Bible said, pray, His kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as in heaven. So that if I'm to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, then that means that I must seek to establish the kingdom of God in the earth, help people to understand the things that pleases God, to seek God's welfare in the earth, and then to seek to live holy and godly and pure in the earth, because that is His righteousness. Now, when I do these things, God promised to bless me. God promised to give me the desires of my heart. If I take to myself that I should go out into the world and have great revivals, and most assuredly you can if you do what I'm about to say. If I take it to myself that I'm just going to preach divine healing, and I'm just going to preach natural prosperity, and encourage people's faith just to believe for the natural and physical benefits of this life, then I have sinned against God. I have sinned against God. I was speaking of a great man today that has built everything from colleges to hospitals and I don't know what. But when you look at the man's motive, though the man talks about God and though he uses the Scripture and he does speak of salvation, but yet the motive and the drive is for one thing, and that is for physical benefits and for monetary values in return and for the natural blessings of this life. Now, that is not God-minded. I built a building here myself. Now that is not God-minded to build a building. When Noah built an ark, that wasn't God-minded to build an ark. An ark is wood. But it was God's mind to build an ark for a certain purpose. It is God's mind to build a building for a certain purpose. But if the buildings are for a return, if the buildings are for sporting the world, you know, putting them on display and putting them on parade, if the buildings are the purpose is to magnify the flesh, and if all of your preaching is for the benefit of the flesh, then you fail God. And all that you've done and all that you love and all that you wanted was of the flesh. It was the love of the world. It was the things of the world, just like the religious world is today. And you don't get anything from God at all. When the world passes away, your empire passes away with it. But see, God is wanting us to preach holiness. God is wanting us to preach that people should be spiritual. God is not a building. God is not a man. God is not natural. God is spiritual. God is an invisible spirit. To have fellowship with God, you don't do it by building buildings. To have fellowship with God, you don't do it by putting up the body and being handsome and outstanding and having fine clothes and money and convenience. You don't have fellowship with God like that. Neither is God inspired of your efforts in that way. But you have fellowship with God when you withdraw from the flesh, and when you kill the flesh, and when you mortify the deeds of the body, and when you kill out the passions of the body, and when you turn away from the things of the world, and you become a person of solitude, or a person that's spiritual, and a person that wants to talk about the things of God. The world is in a rut today, the church world. God warned them of one thing. All of these revivals and television programs of just drawing money and more money and turning to the world and the vain jingles of the world and the sports, celebrities, and all of these things. God said, I warn you against that thing. He said, don't seek to be rich. For many people have pierced themselves through with many sorrows by following after these things. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. If you follow me, Jesus said, I'll make you rich. I'll give you an eternal riches. And in the natural, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I'll make you to ride upon those high places of the earth if you'll delight yourself in me. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. But he said, when you suppose that worldly gain is godliness, he said, from such, turn away. When you see the rich spreading themselves like a green bay tree, and you see a man begin to get great riches, the Bible said, don't have any fear of that man. For he's not going to take it with him, the scripture said. But he'll just pass away and all of his riches will be gone. Supposing that God bringing you physical blessings and natural blessings, as you suppose in your mind, supposing that God is doing that because you are godly, and that is godliness, is wrong altogether, folks. When you get that kind of mind and you follow that kind of people, you're going to wind up in the lake of fire. God has one desire, and that is for you to die out to self. Get a mind to suffer by turning away from the convenience of life, becoming a spiritual person and developing spiritual characteristics and giving forth spiritual fruits. God's desire is that you do this, that you may become an eternal creature. Now I want you to think on this for just a few minutes tonight. I'd like to exhort you just for a few minutes. God has made us to receive a threefold blessing. God fed the multitude with the fishes and the loaves. God healed the body when it comes to physical problems. God blessed the heart, the spirit, and the soul with his spiritual refreshings by delivering from fears and frustrations and anxieties. But there is a people, as I have said in the past, that is made for this world. And those people love the things of this world. And Lucifer is the prince of this world. And Lucifer inspires those people. Now I want you to listen to me. God has never inspired one ball game, never since the history of mankind. God is not the inspiration of this world. God does not inspire frolics and suppers and buying and getting gain and conveniences and getting rich and all of these kind of things. That is the inspiration of Lucifer. God doesn't inspire it because God is not interested in it. God doesn't inspire that because God told you to die out to that. And God told you to turn away from that. And the more that you follow after that, the more that the prince of this world, Satan himself, or Lucifer, the more strength he has to hold you and to program your mind to where he can be your God and take control of your life and take control of this world. The more interest that you have in the world, the more fleshly you are, the more you're concerned about your face and your body and your appearance, the more you're concerned about human physics, the greater enemy you are to God. For the Bible teaches that to be carnally minded is to be the enemy of God, because the carnal mind is the enemy of God. All right, what is carnality? Paul said, if I have sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap of your carnal? Speaking of the necessities of life. So then what is carnality? Automobiles and houses and lands and faces and bodies and passions and eating and drinking and education and positions. That is carnality. Now, does God need buildings? There is buildings that's needed for the work of God. Are those buildings then repulsive in God's sight? They are not. They are built to the glory of God and dedicated to the glory of God. But many of them that are religious people that build these buildings and say they did it for the purpose of God are liars. Many of them that have bought great tent cathedrals saying they did it for God, they are liars. And that have built great projects and great empires saying that these were for God and they dedicated to God. Those people have lied. They did it for fame and prestige and money. They did it for their own purpose. They didn't do it for God. Noah built a boat for God. He built an ark. He built it for God. God told him to build it. And he built it to the glory of God, and he used it for the glory of God. If a building is built by God and for God and inspired of God, then it will be used to the glory of God. But when you see people build buildings, like you're seeing them do today, cathedrals and whatever, and they use it for people to dress out in and to do the worldly things that they do, then it's just exactly like it was in the days of Solomon, when Solomon let his evil wives from the foreign tribes turn his heart away from God and cause him to spend God's money building them paganistic temples of worship. And God frowns on it in the same way, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then you see these men spending God's money for that purpose. God is not in it. God has not inspired it. It does not contribute to the fruits of the Spirit of developing people to be godly and holy. And it is of the devil, and God has nothing to do with it. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, don't you know that God blesses all of them things? God blesses them things to this extent, that the blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement. And as long as that blood is up there, then when I speak of the threefold blessing, one of those blessings being the prosperity of the flesh or the body, as long as that blood is on the seat of atonement, God is going to bless whatever that person is doing. God is going to bless it because of the blood of His Son. If you do good in feeding people, if you do good in praying for the human body, if you do good in building a hospital so that people can have therapy or people can have physical treatments, God will bless it because that is helping humanity. But that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is a spiritual thing. All of those things are benefits that comes from God. You say, well, don't God want us to have them? God does want you to have them. Now, this might be shocking to you, but God had rather not one wicked person in the world have His blessings. But God has so fixed the blood to where the righteous can have the blessings. And that's the way Lucifer in Revelation 12 got into heaven, which means into the presence of God, that he might take the blessings. Jesus made that clear. That woman said, look, do something for me. He said, woman, I can't give children's bread to dogs. He made it very plain. He said, the people of this world are swines and dogs. And I can't give this bread to the dogs, which meant it belonged to God's people, that God didn't intend for the dogs to have it, only in the sense that the dogs eat of the crumbs that falls from the children's table. When the woman humbled her heart and said, God, call me a dog if you will, but I still know that the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the children's table, God said, you're not a dog. A dog don't have that kind of attitude. A dog's an old grumpy grouchy. You pull his bone away from him and he'll bite you. Said, you just prove that you are a daughter. And said, daughter, great is thy faith. Whatever you want, you just come onto the table. You're one of the children. But see, God made it plain right then and there. He made it plain that it is His will to feed His children. Somebody would say, well, I believe God is a great, big, loving God, and I believe that God just wants to love everybody and feed everybody and take care of everybody, and that God wouldn't hurt us for nothing. If that is true, tell me one thing. Why will God turn the multitudes into hell? Why will God say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew ye, and turn the multitudes into hell if He loves them so much? Why did God say, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces? Why did God say, I'm angry with the wicked every day? Why did God say that the prayers of the wicked are abomination in my sight? See, God doesn't care nothing for the wicked folks. He doesn't care anything about anybody but His children. Did you know that Jesus Christ never prayed one prayer for anybody but His children? He said, Father, I pray for these that you will keep them. I don't pray for the world, Jesus said. I didn't come to pray for the world. I'm not like these ministers that's always saying, God loves the world and God loves everybody and God loves everything. He said, I don't pray for any of them, Father. I pray for these that you have given me, that you will keep them. So then we see that all of this thing of preaching prosperity and everybody can go and everybody can be part of it. And it don't matter whether you're an athlete or a celebrity, whatever you are, you can be a devil, but just come on and be part of God's great big thing. This charismatic aura and this foolishness that they got going across the world, you can see by what I'm saying that it's of the devil and it's not of God. It is so close, as I preached the other night, it will deceive the very elect if it's possible. And if you will notice that in most cases where you find this, they do not baptize in the name of Jesus. They've got a Trinitarian move in this thing, and they follow the teachings of the great whore. If you'll watch it, in most every case, that's the way it goes. Jesus said, fear not. He didn't say great multitude, but little flock. He said the multitudes would be turned into hell. Now, so then, supposing that worldly gain is godliness, he said, turn away from that sort of a thing. Because they build empires and do these great things, that doesn't prove they've got nothing. because they have prosperity. That don't prove nothing. Sometimes when you have more, you're blessed less. Sometimes when you have less, you're blessed more. Paul said, in my infirmities I rejoice. Being made the offscouring of the world, I find out then the Spirit of Christ rested upon me. Now God wants His children to prosper. He gives you the threefold blessing. But He never wants you to get your mind on the world and the things of the world. He said, come out of the world, come out from among them, and be a separate people, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean things. Be holy, for I'm holy. Be therefore perfect, even thy Father in heaven is perfect. Love your enemies. Do good to them despitefully. You pray for them that persecute you. Now, even as God that maketh this rain to come upon the just and the unjust. But I want you to think on it like this. Those people that are in that realm, that is their heaven. That is their world. God gave a world to the Jews. It was a heaven. It was a blessing. He walked among them. He was in their midst through the instrumentality of a man called Moses. God dwelt in the midst of Israel as Moses. That was God in their midst. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it was true anyway. God said, I will make Moses God unto you, Aaron, and to the people. He was God in their midst. That was the greatest measure of God that had ever been in the earth. That was the greatest, most outstanding measure of God among mankind. That was God in the earth. He was the very supreme in that day. Nobody was greater. He said, no man in the earth is like unto my man Moses. He's the meekest man throughout the earth. He was God. Now, in the first heaven, they enjoyed that because they were made for that heaven. And they enjoyed that. And that was God in the earth among them according to the first heaven. And then that water world that they were acquainted with back there, God allowed that. Up until the days of Noah. And then the blood world that come on around for that soul part. Bringing it down to Calvary, to the second dimension. That was heaven. That was heaven. When Jesus came, He brought it to an ultimate. He showed it back there where it started with Moses and ended with Jesus. A human sacrifice. It was a great thing. Second heaven, Jesus walked among them. It was God. Today, they still build monuments unto Jesus. They still build great cathedrals as they do in Israel unto Moses. In the first, they built them unto Moses. Synagogues and whatever. Now they build them unto Jesus. Jesus and Calvary. Knowing Him after the flesh. And they are people of that second world. They are people of that second world, as I said here a little earlier. They are people of that second world. They are made for that world. There's road runners that's made to run across the earth. There are creeping things that's made to live in the earth. There are birds that's made to dwell in the trees. But there are those heavenly creatures that's made to get up much higher as eagles and birds that fly way up above the earth. There are those that fly in little planes. There are those that fly in these great jet planes. There are those that go right out as astronauts. See, they are people that are made for that world. They're programmed in their mind for that world. They're made for that world. The people that live in the second heaven are that world that relates back to Jesus, knowing Him after the flesh. That is a religious people. That is people that believe in ball games. That is people that believe in churchianity, as we say. They believe in ritualistics. They belong to denominations. They are very religious people. But all they know is prosperity. Did you know in that first blessing of the first heaven, God gave them a covenant. It was a water covenant that extended to the days of Noah. And He told them that your blessing, Israel, will be the inheritance of the earth, the land of milk and honey. But the second dimension that came in, he promised them a blessing of physical health. He made a physical covenant with them, a blood covenant, to bless them in their physical body, in their physical life, to give them medical profession, to give them something to ease pain, to give them physicians of the physical, that they may have a great world, a great heaven of physical things. And they've received it year after year. And he gave them the money to have it. And everyone that gets in there, the Bible said, he that doeth good unto himself, then people will praise him. If you do good for yourself, people will praise you because they like that. But if you do something for God, they will hate you because the devil is against what you're doing for God. But he's not against what you're doing for the flesh, because you're inspiring the flesh to go on in his kingdom and give him greater control. So in the second heaven, there are people that's built for that world. Though they be religious, they belong to that world. And they love the things of this world. And they want those physical benefits. If they have to jog, if they have to lift weights, if they have to do the things of the world, whatever it is, down to the beaches and the bathing suits and whatever, they follow after that world. That's their heaven. That's their life. They love to build that body up to be just exactly what they think it ought to be in their eyes. But that world belongs to them. But then there is that other world. Not the human part. Not the natural part of the water world and the life of water and the inheritance to them that are made for that kind of thing, that loves that kind of thing. Not the soul part, where they're programmed with intellectual reasoning from the tree of knowledge to follow after human physics and to try to keep healthy bodies. Not that kind of thing. But there is another world. It is a spiritual world. It is an angelic world where Christ is the inspiration of it. Not Moses, nor knowing Jesus after the flesh, but Christ is the inspiration of it. And Christ has chosen people that are spiritual people. And they're not concerned about the human physics. And they're not concerned about the prosperity in the natural. They are concerned about their spiritual condition before God. And they're concerned about their heart welfare. And the welfare, their eternal welfare, whether they have eternal life. And their soul is preserved forever. This is their concern. They are a spiritual person. They talk about spiritual things. They love to think on spiritual things. They're made for a spiritual world. They are in the third heaven. Now, others live in that world out yonder, in the natural. Some live in the world of human physics, in the realms of doctors and dentists and eating and drinking and that kind of thing. Now, but we live in the world of spirits, and we are in the third heaven, and we are angelic people, and we are equal to the angels, and we think heavenly. We talk heavenly. We desire heavenly. All of our ambitions is heavenly. We are trying to do away with this world and establish the will of God and the kingdom of God here, that a king may rule and reign in righteousness. That we might have a government of righteousness. That we might see the triumph and victory of our God as the King of righteousness. We are trying to get God's will to be done here in this world. We are different people. We are made for a different level. We are made for a different world. Jesus emphasized it. He said, "You are not of this world." Why do you want to get entangled in the things of this world? I didn't make you for this world. You are another people. I made you for another world. Let these people that are made for their world enjoy their world. Let Esau have that which is given to him. Let's leave that alone. That belongs to Esau. But I didn't make you for this world, Jesus said. I made you for that world. And there is the world that's coming where a king shall reign in righteousness. There is a great world that's coming to where you will be eternally blessed and secured forever. Being a spiritual being in this present world, I have access to the blessings of the soul realm, which is physical healing and physical blessing. I have access to the natural world, which is the water world of vegetation and fruits and eating and drinking. I have access to the angelic world of which I am born, that is of the Spirit, of the angelic relationship of life in abundance through the Spirit. I have the threefold blessing of God. Paul said, being presented to God blameless, body, soul, and spirit. I have all of them because all of them were made for me. They were made for my purpose. Therefore, I have access to all of them. And all of them will be eternally preserved for me that I might have them. But those that are made for the first world will pass away with the first world. And those that are made for the second world will pass away with the second world. And those that are made for the third world shall never pass away, because the third world will never pass away. Therefore, I don't want to get in a rut in this life and just preach the benefits of God for the physical and preach the benefits of God for prosperity in the natural. I don't want to do that because the devil does that. It's a doctrine of the devil. He does that, that he might leave off the spiritual blessings of God and the spiritual benefits of God and get you to where you don't care about the spiritual things of God. God's doctrine is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then let all of these things be added unto you. Seek first the prosperity of your soul, of your spirit. And God said, I'll add your physical health and I'll add your financial blessing. But if you seek the financial blessing of life, he said, ye shall die, for Satan savors the things that be of this world. And the devil has got a doctrine that all he preaches is the benefits of God to the human body, and never preaches the gospel of Christ to man's spirit. You say, Brother Pike, I hear those preachers talking about Jesus. So did the devil talk to him. I hear those preachers talking about the Word of God. So did the devil quote the Bible and change it into a lie. The Bible said they changed the Word of God into a lie. They've changed the gifts of the Spirit into a lie. As we was talking today, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you say the gifts of the Spirit, and you say they change them into a lie. They can change the gifts of the Spirit into a lie in the sense of lying, miracles and signs and wonders, just as easily as they can change the word that Jesus said was spirit and life. Change it into a lie. So then that means that all of these things is taking place. The devil is inspiring these things that they might continue in the earth to pervert the gospel and keep people's minds away from Christ, to establish the kingdom of Satan in the world and let Satan set in the body, the human body, which is the temple of God, showing himself that he is God and making them believe that this prosperity of the world is something that God is doing for them, that they can still go on and be wretched and ugly and filthy and adulterers and murderers and all kind of things. Whereas I say this, it is a true fact that God is making allowance for it. The blood is on the seat of atonement. And if it wasn't for that blood, God would kill them by the millions. God is making allowance for it, and the devil is sitting up there in that second heaven, and he's got control of the people and all of these blessings, which really are the benefits of God. He is taking full advantage of it, and his ministers is of the devil, and they've got a doctrine of the devil, and they transform themselves into ministers of the Word, talking about the Word of God, inspiring faith that in the time of this blood atonement, that people may be healed, and that they may get their blessings, and God suffers the benefits to go to them in that he pours out his Spirit upon all flesh. When you say he pours out his Spirit upon all flesh, it means that even those that are ungodly is still partakers of the love and grace and benefit of God. And not only that, but the Bible said you can be made partakers of the Holy Ghost, taste of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, and still be wretched and fall away and be lost. You can prophesy like Balaam did and see visions with your eyes open and still have the love of the world in you. For the Bible said Balaam loved the things of this world. You can be like Saul and you can be God's anointed and still be of the devil, in the sense that God's anointed, though God has anointed you and poured out of his Spirit, you may prophesy, you may do all of the things other people do, and the anointing of God be poured out upon you in this day of grace like it was Saul, and still be of the devil. Somebody say amen. You say, well, I don't see that. The Bible said that Saul prophesied so much while the Spirit of God was upon him, they thought he was a prophet. Somebody said, yeah, but when he got wretched and all these things, he wasn't God's anointed. Why did David say, even at the very end of Saul's life, when the man killed Saul and come to David, David said, was not you afraid to kill God's anointed or bother God's anointed? When Saul himself sought David's life, David had the sword and went in while Saul was sleeping, cut his garment off and walked off with it, and immediately his heart smote him because he touched God's anointed and the man trying to kill David. See, folks, I'm saying one thing, and that is you have one proof of salvation, and that is God inside of you producing the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Having gifts don't mean that you've got the Holy Ghost. Joining a church, being baptized, giving in the offerings, all of these religious things, quoting the Word, don't mean that you've got the Holy Ghost. It is when your life produces the fruits of the Spirit of God. That is the only proof that you got that you are born of God. By their fruits ye shall know them. A good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit and good fruit. A good fountain cannot bring forth good water and bad water. You don't get salt water and sweet water from the same fountain. By their fruits ye shall know them. So then it's so close it would deceive the very elect if possible. Lying signs and wonders. Now, when we look at God pouring out of his Spirit upon us, his anointing upon us, why anybody can preach in the day we're living in. Somebody said, well, I couldn't. Yes, you could. Stir yourself up a little and you could do it. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe I could do it. Well, I tell you what, the only reason you can't do it is because you don't believe it. Because if the ministers of the devil can believe it and transform their minds to preach this word and become ministers of this word, then that means anybody could do it. See, preaching, Paul said, I can do that and still be a castaway. I can still be lost. Jesus said concerning the scribes and concerning the Pharisees, he said, you hypocrites. He said, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, he said. You doctors of the law that mess with the word of God, the law of Moses, that is. They call them doctors of divinity. He said, you hypocrites. You strain at a gnat, you blind guides, and swallow a camel. He said, you do what they tell you when they talk about the word of God, which is of God or of Moses, because they've transformed themselves to minister to you the words of life, but said, don't you do like they do. They're hypocrites. Now, so then tonight, a king shall reign in righteousness, I tell you. One day a king shall rule and reign in righteousness. Therefore, is God interested in me preaching the benefits of God? Or is God interested in me preaching the soul welfare of humanity to turn them away from supposing that worldly gain and godliness? The Bible said the poor heard him gladly, the common people. Salvation is sent to the poor, the rich have their consolation. Not very many mighty shall enter into the kingdom. And he said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. And I say this again. Somebody said, well, that means the eye of the needle over yonder where the camels have to get down and go through it. That wasn't what he's talking about at all. If that's what he was talking about, I ask the question again. Why did he say with men this is impossible? Because the camels over there went through the eye. He said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And he said it because he talked to that rich young ruler. The Bible said he looked at that rich young ruler and loved him. But when the rich young ruler who had much would not give it up for Christ's sake, the Bible said that Jesus turned, looked at the others and said, verily, verily, I say unto you. And he began to say concerning he that hath riches. Folks, the gospel is the same old wonderful gospel that's been preached this way all the way back yonder, way back when they preached it under the brush arbor. It is the same gospel, and though we're living in this day of modernism where preachers are preaching everywhere on televisions and under the tents, supposing that worldly gain is godliness and preaching the benefits of God and letting people live like the devil, though they're doing that, it still doesn't change the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the same today. Years ago, and I'm going to close, years ago, under the brush harbors or in the meetings or wherever they were, they prayed, they fasted, they lived holy, they lived a godly, overcoming life. They prayed for the sick, and the sick was healed, and God delivered them, and great miracles and revivals took place. And God met their needs. And people wasn't interested in nothing but God and loving God. And they wasn't running after miracles and physical healings in the hospitals. And they wasn't running after world prosperity and worldly gain. They were going after the Holy Spirit of living a godly, holy, overcoming life. God was with them and there was power in the church. But today, these that run after the power and run after the miracles and run after all of the things of the world, it's just a ritualistic. It's just like a dog chasing his tail. They're getting nowhere. And all of this charismatic things of great miracles taking place, the lying miracles, when you check them out, many of these things that you think happened didn't happen at all. And when the films are shown back, the people died with the same disease. And you find out it was just some big hilarious thing that isn't true. How do you know? I know because I've been there and seen some of it. I've been there and talked to some of it. I've been there and talked to them from the Owling meetings and some of the others when the devil was supposed to be cast out of them, when there was bound with the devil, bound tight as a hat band. See, it's lying signs and wonders. Now, but let me tell you something. If you live good and holy and you give your spirit to the Christ of God and translate your spirit into His Holy Spirit and get concerned about being clean in your mind, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, and throw your filthy, ungodly magazines out and your papers out and get rid of your writing and frolicking and gossiping and backbiting and steaming up and temper and all of these evil things and riding around to these stores of just your vain janglings and listening to the worldly music and buying some frivolous little nothing. If you'll get all of that out of your system and come out of the world and get your mind on godliness and get it off of passions and get your mind clean and get it out of, as I said the other night, the things of this world and start praying and fasting. Start studying and talking about holy things and let your conversation be in heaven and let your mind be on Jesus and let your mind be on the world to come and let your mind be in heaven, not in this world. When you talk about the things of this world, you're in this world. Talk about things that are in heaven and then you're in heaven. Let your mind and conversation be in heaven. You're going to find a different person. You're going to find a different people. And you're going to find a new world. As the songwriter said, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. All things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. I'm in a new world. This is the way that the Bible teaches it. And this is the way it is. If you want to be a creature of this world, then continue on as you are. If you want to be a creature of that world, then believe what I say and be transformed by your mind renewing and be translated into the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit. I want you to stand with me. I wasn't going to talk to you tonight. I had in mind to have somebody else to talk with you. I was determined to have somebody else to talk with you. Even to the point when I got up here behind the sacred desk. And the Lord definitely showed me that He didn't want that. He wanted me to talk with you. And this is the thing He wanted me to talk with you about. Now it's off of my hands. The blood's off of my hands. My conscience is clear about it. I brought you message night after night here for the last week or so, telling you what God expects of you, what God wants of you, and what you should do. Now, I say this again. You say, Brother Pike, what about the great empires of these great ministers that's doing all these things on TV and whatever? That's all right, brethren. God has ordained it. They're inspired by faith. Now, you say the inspiration of it is the devil. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. They're inspired by faith in God in the sense of the blood atonement. But they are preaching the benefits of the flesh and the benefits of the world, which is wonderful. We ought to preach them. But they're not preaching the seeking of the kingdom and living holy and godly and soul prosperity first. They are leading the people to believe that whether their soul prospers or not, that God is satisfied with their prosperity and that God's going to give it to them. Therefore, they are perverting their faith to what Lucifer inspires in the sense that that's the way that he controls the world and runs the world and gets control of the people, showing himself that he is God, making them believe that he, the prince of this world, is giving them all of these things, in that they are glorifying Lucifer and praising Lucifer with ball games in the flesh and images and all of these things. And they are not worshiping the invisible God or serving Him with their spirit, even God who is the Holy Spirit. How do you worship God? He is a spirit. You worship Him with your spirit, Paul said. I serve God with my spirit. How do you do that? If He is the Spirit of truth, your spirit must be truth. If He is the Holy Spirit, your spirit must be holy. If He is godly, your spirit must be godly, meekness, temperance, goodness, godliness, patience, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, all of these things that pertain unto godliness. When your spirit follows after God's spirit and loves God's spirit in that way to submit to that extent to that attribute that comes from God or to His Spirit that produces the fruits of the Spirit, which is the attributes of God. When you do that, then you are serving God. And serving God is joy and peace. All of His paths are peace. Now, I said that to say this. Those people are preaching prosperity. Will God bless it? He will continue to bless it because Jesus died at Calvary that humanity might have those things. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, that spirit of blessing is poured out upon all flesh, that mercy is upon all flesh, and men can have these things, and it will look just exactly like worldly gain is godliness. But it's not. It's not. And Lucifer will take full advantage, and the ministers of Lucifer will take full advantage and their means, their ends will be according to their means, and their means according to their ends. They're working for one thing, and that is for praise and honor and power and glory in the eyes of men, riches and prosperity. So then they are preaching the benefits of God. They are preaching the benefits of God to humanity, telling them in essence that it doesn't matter whether they live holy and glorify God or not in the sense of living an overcoming life. If they just praise God and have faith, whereas the Bible said praise is fitly for the upright or comely for the upright. And the Bible teaches the prayers or praise of those that do not honor God is repulsive in God's sight and abomination, and their prayers are abomination. Their gifts and their offerings. Whereas the Bible said, offer unto him the offering of praise. It is all abomination in his sight. They don't have any peace. I'll pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. So then they're preaching the benefits of God that they may get men's attention and get followers and get money. But Lucifer is at the head of all of it. And you'll see that it'll all pass away. And brothers and sisters, when you see God's people in God's ministry, it'll preach holiness unto the Lord. For God is the Spirit of holiness. It'll preach the fruits of the Spirit, having your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof, everlasting life. It will teach you to get rid of your evil thoughts, not to lean to your own understanding, but follow Christ and His Word with all that is within you. It'll teach you to love one another. It'll teach you not to run after riches and want to be rich, but it'll teach you to condescend to men of low estate. It'll teach you to have all things common. It'll teach you to sacrifice and give to Christ for the benefit of those that are hungry and to those that are true widows and those that are truthfully in need. Sad to say, some of my widows here are not true widows. They just aggravate the life out of me just about it with their foolishness. They have no concern to help, no concern to pray, no concern to fast. They let people smoke in their trailers and curse and drink and frolic and do everything else, and they have no concern for humanity, no desire for any righteousness as to what my standards are here, and someday God will move them away. Sad to say, I have men that are here and women that are married that are also like that. But I also have good godly widows, and I also have good godly families. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I hope you can differentiate between good and evil. The Lord said, when I bring you or bring Zion again, they'll be able, when I bring them again, to discern between good and evil and darkness and light. What is darkness? Darkness and light hath no fellowship. If you have the mind of light, which is Christ's mind and Christ's holy way, then your mind of darkness, which is Lucifer, and your own understanding, you won't fellowship it or lean to it, or you won't reason with it. You'll reason with the Word of God and keep your heart clean and stay out of the darkness, because you're not children of darkness, of that old intellectual mind. You are children of light, which is the mind of Christ. Okay, let's sing this together. Give me another key, friend. I love Him. I love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. All because Jesus first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing with me now? Oh, I love Him. I
of him, all because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. Upon this hang all the law and the prophets. To love the Lord with all of your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to bow your heads with me. I hope these few words of exhortation tonight will help you to understand better how to serve Jesus and what to do. It's needful, folks, that you understand godliness. This way, there's no mistake. They used to have a song, "Be Sure There's No Mistake." And this will help you to know who is who if you'll watch carefully. It'll make you know what God expects and who's going to get to heaven and who isn't going to heaven. And it'll make those that's playing around get on out there and really get in the hog pens, because they'll know that they ain't right and they ain't living right and they ain't got nothing coming. The stars shall fall from heaven. Wandering reflectors that have the love of the world and the love of the passions of the flesh. It'll make them fall away from the children of God. They'll go out from us because they're not of us. Because the Bible said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. While you've got your heads about, I'm going to ask Brother David Durden to come up here and ask him to pray with you tonight. Pray that God will grant unto you the threefold blessing of his wonderful goodness. First of all, that you will seek the kingdom and his righteousness, that God may add all of these things physically and naturally unto you. And pray, letting you know that God would above all things that you prosper in your natural blessings and that you be in health in your physical blessings, but that it is his desire, even as your soul prospers, even as your soul prospers. And brother, sister, though evangelists or whatever might teach you differently, that God doesn't care. He wants you to be blessed irregardless. I tell you the truth in the name of the Lord. He doesn't want you to be blessed and prosper. He's angry with the wicked every day. He doesn't want you to be blessed and prosper unless you do one thing, and that is seek soul prosperity. And according to your soul prosperity, God will bless you. While you've got your eyes closed and your heads bowed,